Blog Talk Radio.
Trusting in you,
Happy that you are making crooked roads straight. Happy that whatever you're bringing us to, you're bringing us through. Happy that you love us without conditions. Happy in knowing that there is only one God. Happy in knowing that there is one Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for us. Happy that our Savior left a Holy Spirit to dwell in each and every one of us so that we may have living water. Father God, we thank you this morning for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, and for your kindness, Lord. Psalmist says, there is none like you. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Father God, there is none like you. And all I can say is thank you. But Lord, I am thankful, I'm grateful, I'm blessed to know that I am a child of God and that you love me and that you call me friend. Lord God, increases, I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I lift up this word, asking you to take it, move it, and hide me behind your wings, O God, as you increase and I decrease. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is, again, the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I cannot do this without God. I cannot do this without God's provision. And I can only say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. As Edward Hawkins say, tragedy, our commonplace, our kind of diseases. We know COVID. People are slipping away. The economy's down. People can't get enough pay. As for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. That song was written, let's see, when was Thank You, Lord, written? I believe back in the 70s. And the thing is, even back then, things have not changed very much. Have not changed. We're still living in that same type of situation. People are still struggling. People are still going through. And we still move forward. I thank God that he loves us so much that he cares about it. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I got this. Let me see. When was it written? Thank God that he blessed us. He woke us up this morning. God didn't have to wake you up. He didn't have to give you another day. He didn't have to say, well done, my faithful servant. He didn't have to do any of those things, but he did. Are you thanking God this morning? Are you giving God glory today? Are you just saying thank you? Are you just saying thank you? Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. For all you've done for me. I thank God again for all of you. So let's get in the Word. And today we are coming out on this, well, believe it or not, 19th day of May. I still can't believe it. The time is flying by. And there are some notes, housekeeping notes. I will be on vacation next week, and I will be an hour ahead of us. So on Sunday, instead of it being our show being at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, it will more than likely be at either 5 or 6 o'clock Central Standard Time. My granddaughter is graduating that day, and we have a lot on our plate. So I will be early. So I would say more than likely I will be blogging at 5 a.m. Eastern time, well, it'll be 6 a.m. Eastern time and 5 a.m. Central time. But anyone that would like to listen to any of the messages for next week, you will be able to find them at 7 o'clock if you want to listen at 7 at Blog Talk Radio, Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. You will find every blog, every broadcast. You will still be able to listen to it at 7 a.m. All you have to have is a smartphone or have a computer and type in Blog Talk Radio and then show Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. So you can listen to all my old shows that way as well. So thank you so much again, family, for listening in this morning. And we're talking about loving the unlovable, being thankful, and being tested. And the question is, are we loving? Are we trusting? Do we have faith that God can do all that he said he can do? So let's get started. Everybody got your words. And we are coming from 2 Samuel chapter 9 and 10. We're coming from the 65th Psalm, verses 1 through 8. Our title is coming out of Proverbs chapter 16, verses 20 through 21. And our New Testament word is coming out of John chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. So what are we going to do? Get started. And the word of God says, now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul, and that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, at your service. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth. He answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belongs to Saul and to all his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that you may, and according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth to the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Michal. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. In other words, he barely could walk, if he could walk at all. You know, and for him to lay prostrate before David took something. That was a lot for him to be able to do. And a life lesson for this word this morning is, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. In other words, trust in me. Trust me. Trust God. I am not going to hurt you. And it said, David remembered the promise he had made to Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14 through 17, and worked hard to honor it. David remembered with gratitude his friend Cap and responded with generosity. And we're going to go over really quick to 1 Samuel chapter 20. You know, Jonathan helped David out of some situations with his father because he understood his father was wrong. He didn't just say, well, that's my dad, and what my dad say I'm going to do, because, you know, wrong is wrong and right is right. Jonathan, David was his best friend, and Jonathan was David's best friend. Just like John was the best friend of Jesus, Jonathan was David's best friend, and he loved him. He was like a brother. He was actually probably closer than a brother. And so he knew that wrong was wrong and that his dad had lost his mind. And so I was like, well, he's taken from you. It should be your throne after me and da-da-da. And then what happened? They both died the same day. So it would never have been Jonathan's throne. And the whole issue is Saul did not trust God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And it goes on to tell us in the word, we're going to start at verse 11. And Jonathan said to David, come, let us go out into the field. So both of them went out into the field. Then Jonathan said to David, the Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, I do not send to you and tell you, may the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away, that you may go in safety, and the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And you shall not, verses 14 through 17, and you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live and I may not die, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. Now Jonathan again caused David to vow because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Best friend till death. That was Jonathan and David. Best friend till death. And David did not forget his vow to Jonathan when he found Mephibosheth living in Lodabar. You know, Lodabar was like the slum, but he went and got him and said, uh-uh, you will eat at my table from this day forward. Chapter 10 of 2 Samuel. It happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent by the hand of his servant to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servant came into the land of the people of Ammon. And the prince of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, the Lord, do not think that David really honors your father, because he has sent confidence to you. Has David not not rather stand in service to you to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it? Because there's some people that don't understand kindness. They don't understand kindness. They think that you must be up to something if you're kind. That you must have a purpose for it. That you're not just being kind to be kind. Because they never had it, so they don't understand it. Just like these servants, they have told this king that David is trying to spy out when David was actually being kind, because his father had been kind to David. So let's keep it moving here, because this is just wild things happen. He said, she said, woo-woo said, and the next thing you know, you got a big mess. And so therefore, Unan, Hanan, took David's servants off half of their heads, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and been returned. When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rahab and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and from the king of Machai, 1,000 men, and from Ishtab, 12,000 men. Now when David heard it, he said, Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in the battle array at the entrance of the gate. And the Syrians Zobah, Beth Rahab, Ishtab, and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, that he might set them in battle array against the people of Ammon. Then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. Be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near for the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. When the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Abishai in the city. So Joab returned from the people of Ammon and went to Jerusalem. When the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered together. Then Hadadezer brought out the Syrians who were beyond the river, and they came to Hadadezer. And Shobak, the commander of Hadadezer's army, went before them. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came to him. And the Syrians set themselves in battle array against David and fought with him. When the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed 700 chariots, 40,000 horsemen of the Syrians, and struck Shobak, the commander of their army, who died there. And when all the kings who were servants to Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians were afraid to help the people of Ammon anymore. You know, folks took kindness for weakness and got their behinds tore up. Didn't trust God, didn't trust that David was coming in honest grief for them. But instead, this king, this young king, listened to the voices of he said, she said, and woo-woo said, instead of what God said. You know, and we do too. We all get caught up in what he said, she said. Well, such and such told me you said this, and such told me you did that, and so I don't like you. And folks running around with a whole bunch of hatred and unforgiveness in their heart. And let me tell you something. You running around with unforgiveness in your heart hurts nobody but you. You wonder why things aren't going well. You wonder why all of a sudden you don't feel your best. You wonder why all of a sudden everything seems to just going to the dogs. And you're like, what is going on? And then you realize You walking around with hatred every time you see Sister Susie. You look her up and down and roll your eyes and go in the other direction. And Sister Susie listening to you like, what's wrong with her? I've done nothing to her. I've only been a good friend to her. I've only been an usher. I've only done what I'm supposed to do. And I love God, so I'm not upset with her. I don't know what's going on. And then you find out that all of this is because somebody told them that Sister Susie looked them up and down one Sunday morning when they was coming through the door because Sister Susie wouldn't let them in when it was prayer time. And I'm evangelist, so I'm supposed to be coming in anytime I want. Not when prayer is going on. You sat in the back, and Sister Susie was just doing her job as head usher. And you got mad at her. Or Sister Susie gave somebody else a bottle of water and didn't give you one. So you're not speaking to her, and you can't stand her because she's so this and that. All of that from just, he said, she said. But girl, I don't know why. Yeah, I saw Susie getting minister such and such tomorrow, but she don't ever give you water when you go to preach. I don't know what's wrong with her. I don't think she likes you. Folks find that. And they do it all the time. Churches can be just like the world because people that come into the church are of the world. And we have to pray those spirits out, those spirits of a mind where folks don't want to believe that someone is being kind. They understand when you were sick, the one that came to visit you was Sister Susie. The one that came and prayed for you and with you was Sister Susie. The one that was there when your husband died was Sister Susie. The one that was there when your mom and your dad passed was Sister Susie. The one that had been your friend since you was in kindergarten was Sister Susie. But yet you let somebody tell you that Sister Susie didn't like you and was not your friend because she was looking you up and down and wouldn't let you in when other people had come in. And they was just sitting there, bald-faced lying. The other folks came in just before prayer. Your friend came in just as prayer was starting, and you were instructed by your pastor not to let anybody in. So you did your job. But folks will try to start stuff just like, oh, well, you know, he can't be concerned about you. They spy. And so what do? Take a kindness and just send it back as if it was doggy too. We got to stop. We got to love each other and understand you feeling miserable and Susie's going on about her business, but you lost your best friend. Because you listen to it. She said, Amon lost Israel as a friend, as an ally, because of he said, she said. We got to be careful listening to what everybody else is saying. But instead, we got to trust God, who said in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so you know that God has got you covered, so why are you getting mad? And as we look at this word again, it says when we face some major challenge, we can do no better than to find courage in God and to ask the Lord to do what is good in his sight. The Lord loves to honor those who honor him. And I just have a life example from this 2 Samuel word. And it says this, it was unheard of for a king honoring the descendants of his rival. Yet that is just what King David did. After the death of Jonathan and King Saul, David wanted to honor his best friend Jonathan by seeking out his children and showing them kindness. As it turned out, the only one living was Mephibosheth, a miserable, crippled man. Mephibosheth had every reason to believe that David wanted to kill him. As the grandson of Saul, who had persecuted David, it was David's right to dispose of him. Yet when Mephibosheth finally met the king face to face, he found just the opposite to be true. David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. From the man who cuts you off in traffic to the former friend who has offended you, you often get hurt by the thoughtless or deliberate action of others. How do you typically react? Are you as forgiving and kind as King David?" Wow. Jesus tells us that our behavior must radically differ from that of the world. I'm going to say that again. Jesus tells us that our behavior must radically differ from that of the world. I say to you, and this is Dr. Stanley speaking, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. So what should you do when someone hurts you? Follow a few basic steps to help move you toward a Christ-centered response. So if you want to get your pen and your paper, if someone hurts your feelings, forgive them. Forgive the offender. Hurt, when not addressed properly, turns into bitterness and an unforgiving spirit. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, you have the spiritual resources to truly forgive others. And we'll go to those scriptures shortly, which is, if you want to find Matthew 18:21-35. And Ephesians 4:32. And if we go over to those scriptures really, really quick, because we still have some more words to go on our lesson this morning. But this is part of the lesson. We got to forgive, because, again, trusting in the Lord is to forgive others that hurt you or persecute you. We got to forgive people. We can't walk around with all that mess all bottled up in our heart. We got to forgive and let go and let God. Because when you walk around, you're hurting yourself because the other person is going on about their business. Matthew 18:21 says to us, and this is the unforgiving servant. Then Peter came in and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him up to seven times?" Remember that. Jesus said, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. 490 times a day. Therefore, the kingdom of God of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay his master, demanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him and said, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe me.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me and I will pay you.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison that he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. When his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servants, just as I have compassion on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." I don't want to be tortured by God because I don't know how to forgive. You got to let stuff go. Give it to God and keep it moving. Because, again, you're not hurting anybody but yourself. We got to stop hurting ourselves because we are unforgiving in our hearts. Let go, let God. Again, I have a highlightable here from Ephesians 4:32. And the word of God, and let's go up one more time. to verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The Lord forgave us, and we got to forgive others. And then it says, when you release someone from the debt he or she owes you, you are free to see the person as Christ does. And anger and bitterness no longer have the power to rule over your decisions. Number two, seek to understand before you seek to be understood. Practice the skill of listening and try to imagine the perspective of the offender. What might have motivated this action? What if going on in her life made many times a person who hurts you also is a victim of hurt? Understanding the offender's private pain could be a key step toward reconciliation or preventing further conflict. As you are upset and mad at Sister Susie, you don't know that Sister Susie may have gotten beaten up by her husband that morning, but she still pressed her way to church to do her assignment, and that she didn't speak to you because she was ashamed and she knew you as a friend would see her pain and want to know what went on. You know, you don't know what anybody is going through. You don't know somebody got cussed out by their children that morning or was told that they had lost their job. You don't know their pain until you have to stop and listen and wait and not get offended over every little thing. And it says, speak with non-combative yet truthful words. Speaking truth and love does not mean that your words will lack a sharp point. Sometimes truth can feel very unsettled. The individual who has wounded you may need to be grappled with some tough issues. Only the Lord can work with a person's heart, but he asks you to continue to extend patience and love. And who knows, maybe someday your worst enemy could become your best friend in Christ. Whatever the result, you can be sure of God's blessing as you seek his way of dealing with those who hurt you. You know, and Sister Susie may go to you and say, why are you all angry with me? Why are you so hateful to me? You are my best friend. And then you say, well, you did this, and Susie listens to you like, I always did what Pastor told me. And I'm sorry if I made you feel some kind of way. I just got my husband hit me that morning. And I was feeling bad because I knew that if you saw me, you would ask me questions and then it would bring it all back. You know, all these little things happen in churches and you don't know what anybody's going through in their own home. And you get mad. And then you get offended. Or you believe that he said, she said, and the next thing you know, you're walking around with years of hatred because somebody said such and such did this or that. Come on now. You can't do that. You got to get over it. Get over that stuff. Don't let anybody bring you down into the pit. You got to look up, lift up, trust God for your happiness. Because when you are happy in the Lord, you are happy. You just have a pep in your step and a praise in your heart. You just feel good. That's what we want to feel good, because we trust in God and he has made us happy. To the chief musician of the Psalm of David, a song. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, come on now, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your force. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you shall answer us, O God of our salvation. you who are confident of all the ends of the earth and of the far off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the torment of the people. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the ongoing of the morning and the evening rejoice. Ooh, what a word. By the awesome deeds and righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation. Psalm 65 and 5. Some answers to prayers can be described with no better word than awesome. How has God awesomely answered some of your prayers? What awesome answer to prayer do you need right now? I know that my daddy has answered some prayers, and all I could say was awesome. Thank God for his grace and mercy toward my sons, toward my daughter, toward my family, you know, toward the grandchildren that God has given me. I am grateful that God has blessed me with an extended family, and I pray for each and every one. But my God says, I pray for all of them and ask God to lift them up. God, daughters, all, I ask God to watch over them. And it says in Psalm 65 and 7, you who feel the noise of the sea, the noise of the waves, and the torment of the people. During his earthly ministry, Jesus loved both still the raging sea and still the angry mob. And so without saying a word, he demonstrated his divine status as the Lord of all. Proverbs 16:20-21. He who heeds the word wisely will find good and forever trust in the Lord. Happy is he. Ooh, happiness to the Lord. And it goes on to tell us the wise in heart will be called prudent. The sweetness of the lips increases learning. Be kind. Be nice. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, as Jesus taught us. Proverbs 16:20. Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. That's where our title comes from. No one will ever find true happiness by disobeying a clear command of God. For happiness is found in trusting God, and those who disobey show that they do not trust him to make them happy. Thank you, God, for all you do in my life. John 6:1-21. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But he said this to test them. But he himself knew what he would do, and we all know what he's going to do. Philip asked him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. That every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples and those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, and as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. then those men, when they had been seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. Therefore, when Jesus received that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself and alone. Remember, what did Jesus do all the time? He prayed. So he went and got by himself so he could pray, so he could spend some time with his Father. And we need to find time in our busy lives and busy schedules to just be quiet and spend time with our Father God. And it says, this is there to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Before Jesus ever set before us an impossible task, he knows what he's going to do, but he watches us and tests us to see how we will react, either in fear, confusion, or faith. And remember the word, from our test will come a testimony. From your test will come a testimony. From your mess will come a message. Remember that God has already preordained everything. He already knows your future. He already knows what you're going to ask for. He already knows everything. And as we continue in this word, so therefore when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force, come on now, to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went out and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Jesus was always there. He's always with us. He loves us. He cares about us. And he wants the best for us. So I thank you all. That's all the words from our word I have, but a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And if there's anyone that God has put a word in your heart to speak, make sure you dial 213-943-35. Lord have mercy, Jesus. I just had one of those moments. 213-943-3597 to call in this morning if you would like to give a word or receive a word. And it says this from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Good morning. Don't give up on a good tomorrow. All up in the message. Because of all bad yesterdays, God can make all things new. Have a turning to God Thursday. And I just say, have a trust in God Thursday. And as we get ready with our prayer for today, coming out of our 365 days of prayer for life, our word for this morning is this, which is the title. We can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And we know that is from Hebrews 13:6. And this is from the ESV version. God, my help, you are the one I call upon in my hour of need. When I'm faced with impossible situations that I have no idea how to navigate, I won't be afraid. I will run to you. You are my God, my constant support and aid. Though people may try to ruin my reputation, they cannot take away the integrity of my heart. I will rest in you as my advocate and defender. I could be beaten down, dragged out, and still you would be my confidence. I put all my trust in you. There's that word. Fastening the hopes of my heart to the faithfulness of your character. I'm going to read that again. I put my trust in you, fastening the hopes of my heart to the faithfulness of your character. You do not fail, Lord. I will say it over again until it sinks into my conscience. You do not fail. You are victorious. You are the victorious one, and nothing can stand in your way. When you move with you, I can say anything. What do you need God's help with today? Is a question I ask you. Are you trusting in God? Are you happy? Are you happy? Trust God, and you will be happy because your dad loves you. That's all I got, family. Have a wonderful and blessed day, knowing that you are loved, you are special, you are a child of God, and he wants you to know that he loves you more than anything. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward, it is a wrap. Why? Because this girl's got to go to work. I love you all. Have a great day. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for getting past our theme song. I was having some issues getting into my studio this morning. But I thank God for Israel Houghton, and I thank God for blessing me with the title for this show, I'm Moving Forward, for we move forward in the Word of God. Now, looking back, moving ahead. Thanking God again. Remember, today, as you go through your day, happiness comes from trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord today to watch him work in your life. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. Have a great day. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a great and blessed day. It's a wrap.